Hello, everyone, and welcome in to another live episode of That's What Bea Said. I'm your host, Bree, at Breezy Clee on Twitter, and I am joined tonight by Miss Brittany Mollis at Bird's Eye View on Twitter. Hi, Britt.
Hello.
We are a dynamic duo tonight. We are missing our third partner in crime. Meredith is working this evening, but we're going to hold down the fort and talk a lot about Browns tonight.
Yes, and we have Joey, too.
So, she's been yelling the whole time before we kicked off. All right. So first we have to kick off the show congratulating Mr. Nicholas Chubb on his contract extension that happened over the weekend on Saturday night. Brittany, do you take any credit for this? Because I believe it was us here a week ago talking about how the Browns needed to pay Chubb and sign Chubb. Lo and behold, it happened.
It happens. I think he was the one out of all of them that they absolutely had to get done.
Like, this year specifically.
Yes, this year specifically. They had, and it's such a good deal.
Oh, my God.
You know, they talk about you underpay, you know, running back. That's a whole different conversation that I really don't want to have. Like, what's value of running backs, or, you know, should you not pay that? They sacrificed their butt. I was looking at highlights, Nick Chubb highlights after this happened, because, you know, everyone was posting everywhere. Yep. And the hits that guy takes and just like gets up like it's nothing. And I'm just like, if I got hit once, like Nick Chubb gets hit, I would be dead. I would just.
Yes. I think most of us would be.
Yeah. You just like bring out the stretcher. I'm done. And the things that they sack at their bodies. Nick Chubb, he's just so special. He's just such, like, he's the heart of the team. So I was thrilled when that happened, and I'm so happy. Andrew Berry again.
Knocking out of the park.
Yes.
Slow clap. Yeah, Nick Chubb, it was a very Nick Chubb signing. Like, that's the only way I can think to describe it. It was exactly what it should have been. It just felt right. Like, yeah. I didn't expect Nick Chubb to demand money. Of course, he deserves all the money in the entire world based on his performance and his work ethic. But, I mean, if you listen to his press conference, he talked about how he wanted to be in Cleveland and he wanted to build upon the success that the team had last year. And he believes that this team is capable of winning and going far. So I'm just mind blown that we've talked about this before, that players want to be in Cleveland and want to have a career in Cleveland.
We've lived long enough to see the other side of
family. We have.
We finally
barely. So yes, we wanted to kick off the show with that. We will get into, again, training camp is obviously still going on. We'll talk a little bit more about what's happening within training camp, our thoughts about why we feel a little bit differently about training camp this year than we have in the past. We also will be doing a fun mailbag question time. So if you guys have any questions for us specifically, please shoot them in the chat box comments. We will hopefully get to some of those a little bit later on. And make sure you guys are interacting this entire show. We had so much fun last week hearing what you guys had to say and your opinions. And then we will end the show. We were teasing this a little bit at the beginning if you guys joined early. We're going to do a little around the league. But we're going to focus this specifically on our AFC North rivals and what we're calling Rival Reddit, because our show is obviously from a fan's perspective, fan's point of view. And we think it's really fun to also gain perspectives of our other fan bases' points of view. And we are just living in a completely different time in the fact that the Browns, our fan base, we are very calm. Very excited. Our rivals, there's a lot of turmoil happening. So can't wait to get into that.
I'm excited for that. The screenshots that you sent are.
Oh, I cannot wait. So guys, make sure you stick around. Again, the mailbag, we will pick a few comments that will pop up and you'll have a chance to win a t-shirt again. So make sure you guys do that. Okay, let's start with training camp. So we are within a week, right? We've done a week of training camp. I can't believe it. It's August. We are officially very close to having football on our TVs on Sundays. And fortunately for us, there has been a lot of good coming out of training camp this last week. So we're going to go over a couple of key players, some things that are happening, things we're excited about. I think it's okay to be excited. But before we do that, Brittany, can you talk about how training camp is different for you this year?
Absolutely, I can. So I want to get into, Danny and I were going somewhere the other day, and I asked him who his favorite player was for the Browns. And he had the same answer I did, which is we're so beyond players individually that now my favorite players are Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, which I think that says so much for how far the Browns have come. You know, you look at the team now, and the idea that Hugh Jackson or Freddie Kitchens was ever even a part of this,
yeah,
is just mind-blowing. And I feel like, I can't speak for all Browns fans, but I feel like the rational kind of normal Browns fans are sort of maturing into this role of being like, yeah, this is our team. Instead of, like, remember 2019, yeah, we're all excited and we're all running our mouths and we're all loud because we'd never been there before. We'd never been a team that was on paper very good, you know, but now we're on paper very good with the leadership, which makes all the difference. So I'm at the point now where I'm not invested. Like, I love the Browns collectively. There's not like one specific player that I'm cheering extra hard for. There's not one that I especially want to succeed. I just want them all to play together well. And I'm so excited for the alignment in the organization now. I'm so excited for the leadership, you know, a servant leader. I remember that.
Yes. Love that.
So that's the difference for me. I'm not going around running my mouth anymore. I'm not going to be a jerk anymore. I say that now, but once.
Yeah, wait till the season starts.
I know. Once September comes around, I'm going to be a monster. But like for now, there's nothing stressing me out about this team. They're in good hands. And that's just so comforting.
I am so happy you said that because I oddly feel the same way. And I tweeted about this earlier today. I don't know if it's maturity or if it's just feeling very confident in the staff, the organization, and obviously the players. But I'm don't get me wrong, I'm excited for the season to start. Very excited to see Browns football like officially on the TV. But I feel like you mentioned last year, a couple years ago, you know, we would get overly excited at this point in time. We'd be gassing up players. We would be hyping up passes that we saw in training camp or specific things that were happening. And what's so different this year for me is that it feels more like business, right? Like they're out there, they're doing their jobs, and training camp isn't a golden compass of how the season is going to pan out. I truly know and believe, based off of what we saw last year, that this team is good and they're going to be good this season. I don't need training camp to tell me that anymore, right? Before, we were grasping at straws to come up with anything good regarding this Browns team. So training camp was kind of that compass of, and you know what, Brittany, it wasn't even like who's going to make the roster. It was like, do we actually have 53 we feel confident about that could actually play?
Yes. And the quarterback now, battles.
Exactly. Now it's like, now it's players, really good players are fighting to make the team. And we are now talking about depth. We actually have the privilege of talking about positional depth, which is, again, so brand new to us. So for me, I am oddly calm. I'm like so bizarrely calm about this entire process. And it feels really weird, but I'm like you. I'm not going to make these grandiose statements. And, you know, I just feels like we deserve to be here. This is who we are. It's a Browns team that is successful, stable, confident, but they don't need to talk about it. So right. Neither do we. Right. I mean, we are talking about it.
You're not going to get like sound bites, like don't wear orange or brown, you don't matter. None of that. It's no frills. And this is exactly the spot you want to be at as far as a fandom. None of the outside noise, none of the drama that we've, you know, grown so accustomed to. And granted, it's been a very boring.
Yes.
It has been. It's been, but it's supposed to be. What we were living in before, all of that chaos, constant chaos, that was not normal.
Constant chaos is 100% right.
Yes, it was like a circus. There was always some headline. There was always something happening. There was always some rumor, some soundbite. And we were just bought into it. Like this, that was normal. That's the Cleveland Browns.
Yes. You know?
But now we have leadership and we have alignment and we have people working together. We have smart people in charge doing this. You know, you combine football guys with analytics guys and you have this perfect creation that we're all now enjoying.
Yes.
Having said that, I can't wait for this offseason to be over and we can just get into football
season. Yeah, same. I'm with you. It used to be like the offseason to us was so important. And now it's like, can we just please get to week one?
Yes.
And I think the other thing I just want to remind myself of that I struggled with last year personally was not overreacting to specific losses or wins. So for us, again, we didn't really win a lot before. So it was really easy to overreact.
Get really excited
about winning. But it's the losses for me. Like, we're not going to win every single football game. Like, we just won't. If we do, great. I would love that. But we're going to lose some games. And I want to win week one really, really badly. But if we lose, let's not panic, guys. Let's not burn down the house, right? Like, it's going to be okay. So, you know, I'm just trying to keep that same mentality, this calmness continuing on as we get into the season. Kevin Stefanski is rubbing off on us.
He is.
It's like he's our father.
He is dad.
Yeah, Kevin daddy. Okay, so speaking, kind of going off of this, we didn't really have this in the rundown, but I have to ask you because this all goes hand in hand to me. I'm sure everybody that is tuning in with us right now, and Brittany, I'm sure you saw this too, but the big news yesterday was all about the Giants training camp, how there was a big kerfluffle fight, and Joe Judge made his team run like a million. Like, I don't even know the whole, like that whole thread of reading through that practice was, I just sat there and I was like, I am so happy this isn't the Browns.
Yes. And it's happening in Detroit too, where there was a fight within the Lions organization, players on the field fighting. And you know, who's our coach now?
Joe Judge.
No, the Lions.
Oh, Dan Campbell.
Dan Campbell, that.
Oh, that's it. Right. Yeah, remember his
22.0. he loves it. These kind of coaches, they love this stuff, which is just, Brie, I can't. Maybe, and I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a lady, but like I see people fighting and it makes me uncomfy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Joe Judge was asked about it today, and I sent this to you.
That's not a real thing.
It's not?
No, that's a joke account.
Oh my God, thank God. Okay, I literally thank you for that because sometimes I read things very quickly.
Yes, I didn't. You had to go through this guy's Twitter. We should probably tell them what it said.
Yes, just okay.
So they have, like, reference.
So I sent this tweet to Brittany and it was Joe Judge making a comment that he was a little bit turned on by the fight. So apparently that wasn't really real, but props to whoever did that because I was 100% fooled.
They had everyone duped, like everyone. They had media people duped. That was a real thing. And it's weird. It's believable. That's the thing. It's not like out of the realm of possibility that a coach would say something like this.
Amazing. Yes. All right. Well, let's talk about the Browns. Let's talk about the good. So some names we've continuously seen pop up from reporters and media that have been at camp and attending camp. We're seeing a lot of the same names come through day in and day out. First, let's start with Donovan Peoples-Jones. Obviously, our wide receiver who came in last year unexpectedly after a couple of injuries, had a pretty good rookie season, and it seems to be that he is having a really good start to his second year in training camp. So it's being reported that he has slimmed down, his hands are steady, he's catching everything, and he's faster, and that he has worked all offseason with Baker. So you're seeing a lot of Baker to DPJ connections. Brittany, obviously the wide receiver room is stacked. We know that. There's a lot of receivers on this team that I don't think all of them are going to be there, but DPJ seems to be one that at this point in time seems to be the number three behind OBJ and Jarvis. What do you think?
He seems to be the number three, yeah. And it's just, we're going to get into that later. And this is a conversation that you guys aren't going to miss because it's a fun one. We're going to get into the wide receiver room and, you know, all that. I don't know. I have a question, though. Okay, so for Ohio State fans, are you guys cool with DPJ now? Like, is that all done? You guys are just good with him being here?
I never was not good with him.
No, but like, I feel like sometimes there's that thing, you know.
Yeah, I know. Those are the Bucknuts. Yeah.
So I just
Here's the thing. Here's my theory. If he wasn't performing, the Ohio State Browns fans would hate him.
True.
So it's obviously you don't have to worry about that because he is performing. I wouldn't say he wasn't, I don't think, best utilized at Michigan. So it was probably unfair to have that maybe perception or opinion of him, of what his career would be in the NFL. Cause I just don't think he was utilized the right way. I don't think he had a quarterback that could throw to him. Right. So I'm happy that the Browns were able to kind of untap his talent and understand his football IQ and how smart he is and unlock that on this team. Like, I think it's amazing how they've utilized him.
Yeah. He showed up a lot last year when they needed him. Last year was a rough year, wide receiver wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. DPJ, he's looking good in training camp, ready to go. He took the off season seriously, spent a lot of time with Baker.
Yep. So the other name is John Johnson, obviously. Yes. One of our offseason acquisitions on the defensive side of the ball. And reports are that he's already the leader in the locker room. And I think that is what this team expected of him. I think that's why they signed him and they brought him over to this defense. So for me, I am excited to see that because I do think the defense was a place that we needed this type of leadership. And we needed someone like him to bring that room together because they're going to be getting used to each other for the first couple of weeks, right? Like, they're obviously together at training camp, but it's going to be very different being live in game.
Yeah. Sorry. That was a funny comment. But wait, the Browns room isn't all Buckeye alum.
Oh gosh. I know. That's hilarious.
No, as far as John Johnson's concerned, you know, I think at the end of the season, we're going to look back at that signing and be like, that was probably one of Andrew Berry's best signings of the offseason.
Yeah.
Because you're getting so much more than just, and obviously the talent, but it's so much more than that. Like, they so badly needed to revamp this defense and bringing him in. I mean, even when he did it, fans were ecstatic about it. But I think even more so, we're going to see that unfold and we're going to be very happy with it.
Yes. So maybe the surprise coming out of the last couple of days has been Mac Wilson, a guy who, from a fan perspective, was on the chopping block. Like, nobody wanted to see him on this team. I think we talked about this last week, too. You know, we believed he was at risk for even making the roster. And obviously, still going to be really challenging, I think, for a lot of these guys to make the roster. But over the last couple of days, it's been reported that he's really taken the offseason seriously. He's in the best shape of his life. He had an interception yesterday. And last year, he was struggling and battling through injury. And I don't know if that was talked about enough with him. But it does appear that Mac Wilson is getting better. And there's a fire underneath him. So our question is to everyone, will Mac survive the cuts? Is he going to make the roster?
Can I answer?
Sure, please.
I say yeah. I think they want that depth there. I want Mac Wilson to succeed so badly. Like, yeah. Because, you know, as much flack as he gets for, you know, whatever, social media posts, he has such a, there's an energy about him. He loves playing in Cleveland. Like, I don't think anyone on the Cleveland Browns hypes up the Cleveland Browns the way Mac Wilson does. Let me remind you that this man changed his profile picture on Twitter to Kevin Stefanski's face. Yes. He did that. And I think he did it to Andrew Berry, too. Like, he loves this team. He loves playing for this franchise. And I don't know how you don't want a guy like that to succeed. Granted, he has underachieved so far. No doubt. Nobody's arguing that. But it seems like Donovan Peoples-Jones, it seems like he took this offseason very seriously.
Yep.
And again, when you have strong leadership, when you have a franchise that's organized, it becomes very hard to break through it. So you mm-hmm. have to work your butt off in order to even make the team. And that's amazing to even say for the Cleveland Browns.
For sure. And what it might come down to is who is going to play on special teams and who mm-hmm. is performing from a special teams perspective. And that may very well be the determining factor if they make the final roster, because these players are probably going to need to play special teams. And we did have a ton of turnover when it comes from the defense last year. And a lot of those guys were playing special teams. So I don't know. It is really like that is the one thing to watch as we go through these next few weeks before they make that final roster, is who's playing on special teams, who's performing well there, and who's going to make the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Max had a lot to prove. He still does. He still has a ton to prove. But I don't doubt that he's going to give it everything he's got. I believe that. I think that's in him. And if you just look at the guy, like, he's a beast. There's no reason why he can't be very good. And that's the thing that's always been the most confusing with me. Because you look at Mac Wilson, you're like, geez, this guy, like, that's a specimen right now.
He's like a meatball.
Yes. Like, there's no reason why. And I think probably something mentally going on. Because normally, like, anytime a physical specimen has, you know, there's something just not clicking there. But it looks like he took it seriously. He has a lot to play for. He just welcomed his new son, which is very exciting. I saw that today. Very cute. It's a boy, Mac Wilson II. So good for him. And now he has something to play for.
Yeah. Can't wait to see how that pans out. So sticking on the defensive side of the ball, well, first and foremost, we had good news earlier in the week that Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was reactivated off of the COVID list. So that was very exciting to see him hopefully back out there on the field. Obviously, he was attending everything virtually, but Kevin Stefanski did say, you know, we need to see him execute now on the field. I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to make an impact. And it's crazy because you think about the team that has been on the field these last couple of days from the defensive side of the ball, and he wasn't even one of them. And they talked about, as soon as the pads came on, the defense kind of stepped it up a notch, which in my mind, that's amazing to see, especially because they're still all figuring each other out.
Yes. Love it.
JOK looks to me like he is way older than he is. He seems so mature.
Yes, he does. And I heard today that he didn't have the best day that was reported. But I don't want people, like, panicking.
We're not going to panic, guys. No. We're not doing that.
No, and he also mentioned today that he considers himself a linebacker, regardless of what anyone says. So I don't know if you guys saw those little tidbits, but that's what he said about his day. I'm very excited to see how that develops. I'm very excited, obviously. And I said I don't have favorite players, but if I did...
Are you going to get his jersey? I need to know this answer.
I have already put in an order for his jersey.
Which one? Did you get the new one?
No, it's just a regular white one. Not the 75 or 75th anniversary one. No, just a regular one. You know, we'll see how it goes. Fill it out. I'm not a real big jersey girl. I don't really have any jersey girl or any jerseys. So
Yeah,
but I did get one and I'm excited to see him.
Good.
Yes.
Good. Okay, so finally, I think one of the most exciting things for me is the tandem that is Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. Mm-hmm. So there's been obviously a lot of skepticism about Clowney. He has been injured quite a bit, obviously coming off of a year where he didn't play very much. He didn't produce sacks, but when you pair him opposite of Myles Garrett, we all know and understand how lethal Miles is, that he requires a specific attention to where he is on the field that Jadeveon could eat this year. And we are seeing that on the practice field in Berea specifically. And that has been reported that I believe it was yesterday's practice where they said he could have had 20 sacks at least. Mm-hmm. And that the offensive line struggled with Jadeveon Clowney and the duo specifically. And this is a reminder, our offensive line is the best in the NFL. So I don't think it's something to panic about from an offensive line standpoint necessarily. I think this just goes to show you that this pairing could be really, really lethal and challenging for our matchups week to week.
Yes. So now when Myles Garrett is double and triple teamed, we finally found a solution for it.
There you go. Well, and that it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with depth, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Myles obviously is a force to be reckoned with. And, sure. You know, it's unfair of us to expect him to produce a sack or a strip sack in every single snap, right? And that's almost what it felt like we were doing last year. Like, we were so reliant on Myles Garrett to make a big play. And a lot of times he delivers on that, but he can't every single time. And that's not going to happen. We know he had the impacts and the effects of COVID last year too, based on his recovery. But again, what Andrew Berry did to this defensive line to get Myles Garrett help and to have depth at this position is going to be critical this year. And I cannot wait to see this play out in person. You know, all the other teams in the NFL, especially our rival teams, are laughing up Clowney and, you know, he's a wash. He's not a good player. Like, he doesn't have any sacks. Like, we're not scared of him. You guys should be. Like, keep telling yourselves that.
You should be. Okay, I don't want to hear Steelers fans say anything. Like, he's built like a Kleenex now. Like, if anything happens to him, he's just done. So you better be afraid, Clowney and Garrett. Like, you better be afraid. Seriously.
Yeah. So I'm excited. Do you guys want to talk about, you know, what number of sacks you think we could expect potentially from this tandem? It's not all about the sacks, you know, like, I know we talk about sacks a lot, but
are we thinking double digits for both of them?
I mean, how amazing would that be?
Am I reaching for the stars for that one?
No, I think they have the capability.
They do. I mean, physically,
as long as they're healthy, you know, if they can stay healthy,
that's the thing you have to worry, especially with Clowney.
Yeah.
You know, you don't injuries. This goes across the board. So we're all excited and everything looks great and we can be as happy as we want, but you just never know what's going to happen as far as injuries
right.
go.
Right. So. All right. Well, someone said, Blaine responded and said a lot. Yeah, I like that answer. Robbie just commented 30 between the two. Oh, that would be,
whoa.
I'll take it. That would be incredible. Something. I love it. They need a name. Do they need a name?
Yes. Sorry, Jim.
Is that you? Like, you're gathering some fur on the camera. Okay. So finally, overall, from a defense side, very shaky last year, obviously. Not what it needed to be in order for this team to be fully complete. It looks much more improved with all of these new pieces and parts we added, and that's obviously after 1 week of camp. So we've talked about this. All eyes are on Joe Woods. Probably some surmounting pressure on him. Who has been your favorite offseason ad, Brittany? And please feel free to comment. Who's been your favorite? I know you don't have favorites, but...
Well, I have one.
Anyone
favorite.
You like? Okay.
Oh, I mean, come on. Like, we know who my one favorite is. And we got him in the draft, and I just like to remind people that it was the second round, so don't put too much pressure on the guy, okay? But I already feel him becoming one of my sons. This is a problem.
I love it.
Sick the coaches and GMs, not invest in players, but here I am.
I love it.
But yeah, that's my, I can't think of one. No, not one defensive signing that like I would question. Andrew Berry's just, he's a wizard, honestly.
He deserves an award. Just
give him his flowers now.
Everything. I mean, he probably won't take them, and that's fine. We will accept them on behalf of him. Crown him.
J-O-K. Oh, also, and he did say that you can call him Jock, J-O-K, or Woo. He likes all three of them.
Oh, so. I like Woo.
Cute.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear the stadium erupt with Wu. And he makes a big play.
When you think of it, you just like, that's immediately what I think of. Just what this could sound like at the stadium with everyone just screaming Wu. Oh,
yes. Yes.
Goosebumps.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about some players or positions specifically that we want to keep an eye on. So it's been a theme this entire show. We have an abundance of riches. I hate that saying, but this means that good players are going to be cut, like we've talked about, and they're going to be fighting for a starting position. So a couple of positions where we specifically feel like there is a lot of talent on, wide receiver is probably the most notable. So you obviously have OBJ returning from his injury, Jarvis Landry, who's been obviously critical to this offense, DPJ, who we just talked about, really coming on in his second year, Hollywood Higgins, a lot to prove, obviously, with coming back this year on the Browns, Anthony Schwartz, and then Kadarrell Hodge. Man, I read off all of those names, and I would be sad to see any one of them go. NFL teams typically keep 6 active wide receivers and dress 5, unless obviously one of them is on special teams. Can you guys identify the weakest link of the group? Because, you know, last week we talked about, like, is Hodge going to make the team? And then he's obviously kind of showing out at camp as well, just making these incredible plays and catches and extremely smart. I mean, these guys are battling with each other.
Yeah. Again, this all comes down to when you have good leadership, like, they put together something solid. And that's what we're seeing. And these guys are giving it everything they have at camp right now. And when I was making this rundown today and I was looking at the wide receivers, and I'm just like, holy crap. Of course, I'd say if I had to say like a weak link right now, I'd say Schwartz, just because he's a rookie. And you don't know if that's going to translate, but he's so fast. Like, I can't wait to see that on the field. So even the weak link right now, I'm so excited for. And I can't say that I've ever felt that way about someone that I'm like, I look at a group and I'm like, ah, well, this guy maybe not, nothing to get excited about. No, this one I'm excited to see.
Yes, I agree. And I think last week I was a little bit on the fence. Higgins, obviously a fan favorite. I don't know if he'll make the cut. I really don't. I mean, with him, it's almost that intangible with him and Baker and their chemistry. You know, that's talked about a lot. But Baker seems to have chemistry with all the wide receivers. You know, him and DPJ are on the same page. Him and Hodge seem to be on the same page. I mean, Kadarrell Hodge came in last year and made some critical plays. I mean, critical third down plays multiple times. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I would hate to be Andrew Berry when it comes to this. I really would. And I think Schwartz, they're probably going to design some specific packages for him based on speed. I think that is something he brings to the table that some of the other guys don't. But this one's tough. And I think there's going to be some heartbreak from a fan perspective when the roster gets announced.
Yeah. I think one of the things that doesn't really get talked about, and it's interesting to me, our two best receivers are Odell and Jarvis, obviously. But they're not tall guys. You know what I mean? They can jump. Like, well, Odell's like a different sort of athletic than Jarvis as far as their skill set and stuff. But I like tall receivers. You know, I like someone that can just stretch. Somebody that outsizes corners. Like, that's nice to have. So, you know, Higgins, he's 6'1", which is, you know, taller than the other two. I think Donovan Peoples-Jones, I think, is 6'2". Hodge, he's got to be at least 6'2", I would think. He's a tall guy.
I feel like they're all, like, right around the same height. They're, like, all, like,
except Jarvis
foot-ish.
And Odell, yes.
Yeah.
Which is, like, it's crazy. You think of wide receivers, you think of these, like, long bodies. But, you know, that's just something interesting. And I hope that they keep them all, just because, again, they all have special skills. Like,
right.
Hodge, you know, might not be used on the field, but he can do special teams. Sports is really fast. You know, Donovan Peoples-Jones has worked his tail off to be on the team. Then you have the other two that are going to be there. Like, they are who they are. So, but man, that's a group to get excited about.
I know. That's, again, I mean, fun to watch. I hate to see any of them go. Maybe they won't. You know, who knows? It's, he has some tough decisions to make. And obviously, I have full faith that they're going to make the right one. I think we all at this point can trust that.
These are good problems to have.
Very good problems, to have. Yes.
I like that we can have these conversations.
Yes.
Like, which and of then, our really good wide receivers shouldn't be the team?
I know, right? Like, you know, a mere 2 years ago, Breshad Perriman was like our most favorite wide receiver that Baker was throwing to.
Yeah. Remember when Kenny Britt and Corey Coleman were the number one? What a time. We've come so far, guys.
I mean, yeah, this is great. They wouldn't even be at training. Oh, okay. So shifting gears to the position that covers these wide receivers, cornerbacks. So from a cornerback perspective, obviously this is a place that we suffered last year. It was an injury ridden position for the Browns, not a place you want to be weak at, obviously, knowing that the NFL is very pass happy. You want to have depth in this position. In fact, Kevin Stefanski was asked about how many corners do you need? And his response was a lot. And this is another place that Andrew Berry went out and got better at. So Greg Newsome, obviously, first round draft pick this year, versus Greedy Williams has been an interesting one to watch. Greedy, obviously, coming off of that nerve damage injury after missing the entire season last year. And Newsome looks good. He looks solid. And what's being reported out right now is that Greedy is kind of taking that as motivation and is also looking pretty solid because I think he has a lot to prove because there are question marks out there. You obviously have Denzel Ward, who is someone that is our number one cornerback. And then you have Troy Hill, obviously, who we acquired over the offseason. But again, this is a place where Denzel has struggled with injuries. You can never have too many, as Kevin Stefanski said. So are there any players that we mentioned that you think has the advantage over one or the other? I mean, a rookie, you know, it's a little worrisome. But again, Greedy hasn't had that much experience either.
This one for me is a toss-up. I'm totally fine if Newsome is the number one guy here. Well, technically the number two guy. But, like, you know, if that's what it is, great. I have no problem putting a rookie out there. Because you saw what he did in college. And the thing about him is that he's also injury-prone. Like, he struggled all through college with injuries, various ones. Which is, I believe, why he wasn't taken higher in the draft. But it seems like he's not only is he showing up and he looks good, but he's also, you know, sort of pushing Greedy to be better, to elevate his game too, which is the ideal position to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is, you want your players pushing each other. Even if it's not on purpose, like, just, you know, being there, showing that they have competition. Everyone has to give it their all. If you want to make this team, if you want to be a starter, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's a toss up for me. I'm good either direction. I'm glad that Greedy's back. I hope that, you know, when it's nerve damage, you never know how that's going to play out. That's always a weird injury. And I think a lot of people don't understand that too. You know, I saw a lot over the season about, you know, well, when's Greedy coming back? And fans were kind of mad about it, but it's nerves, man. Like, that's not that something sucks. That just goes away.
No.
It's not something you could just, like, have surgery and it just magically disappears. It's not like that. It lingers for a long time.
Yeah, what makes me feel a little bit more confident about this is we've improved, obviously, at every position on the defensive side. You know, obviously, the line even got better. So with the line play getting even stronger, I think it takes a little bit of pressure off of the secondary. Versus last year, what we talked about was we almost put a lot on what the line needed to do. And I think that was because our secondary was so weak that we knew if the quarterback was able to get the ball out quickly or complete it, like they had a better chance of completing passes. Like it was that bad for us last year. So overall, I think with the entire defense improving, you know, every single position got better on defense as well. So it takes pressure off of any one singular position group. So for me, I'm not as nervous about a specific position. We have really good players at every position on defense this year, multiple players for that matter, versus last year it was like you had a really solid one on the line with Myles Garrett, and then you had Denzel Ward. And then after that, it was like a lot of question marks. Yeah, I mean, Ronnie Harrison was probably our best acquisition, and he didn't even play to start the season after we acquired him. So, you know, when you think about that, it's just we are in such a much better space going into this year.
Oh, yeah. I remember how many times did we say last year the defense is going to give up 30 points, like flat. So the offense has to,
yep.
In order for the Cleveland Browns to win a game last year, you almost had to automatically say, okay, you got to score 30 points or else you're probably.
There's no chance.
Yeah. And it wasn't the defense's fault because there were so many injuries. It was such a weird year, you know, with COVID and everything. But to see the amount of improvement already is just, it fills my heart. I'm so excited.
All right. So shall we take some mailbag questions? And then you guys need to stick around because we're going to get into Rival Reddit. What's going on in the AFC North? Pretty hilarious. Can't wait to get into that. But let's go with mailbag time. Ben, go ahead and pop some questions out for us.
Can we address all the Notre Dame hate, first of all?
Yeah, Brittany, go ahead. Say your piece.
Oh, my gosh. What is wrong? Oh, can I have an announcement to make, by the way.
Yes, please.
I am going to my first Notre Dame game this year.
Oh, look at you.
And guess what game it is, Bri?
Which one?
USC.
Oh, that's exciting.
I know. I'm very excited. I almost cried the other day when I got the news.
Oh, good for you.
Guys. Notre Dame haters.
Notre Dame's a good school. So is Michigan. I mean, I'm an Ohio State alum, and I can admit that both of those are very good schools. I mean, you have to be smart to go to those schools. So.
Just come to our side, Bri.
I mean, I am a Catholic, so it fits. Notre Dame fits. Okay, so we got our first question up here. Matt, is it good or goody? I like goody. We're going to call you goody. Like bigger that. Question, which kicker will we keep? I've heard they both have been struggling. Yeah, that's been reported upon. Not good necessarily for us. If that's the one position group that's going to struggle, of course it's going to be freaking kicker for the Browns, because why wouldn't it be?
Just bring Phil Dawson back. I'm sure he gets kick.
I don't know. Is it possible that they could potentially not keep either and then assign someone? I don't know. I mean, for me, I think Parkey has the edge just because he actually had a pretty solid playoff performance. But, man, I just don't understand why kickers have to be so inconsistent.
I know.
You have one job.
You've played for this your whole life. Like, just go in there and kick it, man.
Frustrating. And it's not like they're fighting against wind. It's like it's been hot and humid.
You're just there by yourself. Just kick it. I say that as like this unathletic slob. Like, it's just such an easy thing to do.
Go eat your Cheetos on the couch and complain. All right, good question. Bob Mosher. Last season, we used to say that the offense had to score at least 35 points to make up for the defense. How much will the offense need to score this season to cover points allowed? Go ahead, Brittany. I mean, we were just talking about this.
I'm going to say the number is like 20-21. That's probably,
I mean, I think the offense has the potential to score a lot. I don't think we will need to.
Yeah.
You know,
but like, as far as how much the defense is going to give up, it's hard to say right now. They're vastly improved from last year. So it's not going to be, you're not going to expect the offense to go out and score 30 points just to get in the game. Okay. That's done. Those days are dead. So I'd say, I don't know, maybe like 20, 21. You know, I'm a little cautious.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to give up touchdowns. They're going to give up points. Sure. You have to hope that they're – last year it was very much like – it would be like a four-minute offensive drive and they'd get points on the board. You know, like you want to challenge them. You want to make them punt. You want to make them have to think really hard and not just drive down the field and score. Like, that's what was happening. So, absolutely. You know, hopefully I'd be fine with that. Be fine with that.
Well, remember last year they would like bury these teams, then they'd get back into games like in warp speed. You're like, how did this happen?
Exactly. Oh, exactly. That's stressful. Do you think Higgins is having a strong training camp to keep his spot? I mean, I feel like we covered this a little bit already. I wouldn't say that there's not a wide receiver that is doing poorly. I think that's why it's going to make it all the harder. Do you think Baker would show up enough to get us to the Super Bowl? Okay, so let's talk about this one, Brittany, because you sent me something before the show, and I want you to talk about it.
Yeah, good question, Drew. So the thing that I sent Bree right before the show today, I'm going to read this, and probably some of you have seen this already. It's been floating around there, but it's more bulletin board material.
As if he needs any more, right?
Right. So today, Jeff Schwartz, or I like to call him G-Off, because that's a stupid phrase.
Jeff with a G.
He had the audacity to say, they have the most talented roster in the NFL. The problem is their quarterback.
I hate this narrative so much.
You know what? If Baker Mayfield is your problem, I think you're gonna be fine. Even if that were true, even if Baker was the weakest link in this offense, you're still gonna be a good team because Baker's not a bad quarterback. You could say that he still has things, areas that he needs to improve upon, that he's not, you can even argue that he's not top 10 quarterback right now. And I'll hear you out. Like, that's, you know, that's fair. I'd put him in the top 15 at least. I'd probably put him in the top 10, but we're not going to get into all that. But, you know, if you say that he's the weakest part of this offense, okay, like, I'll take that. He's not a problem, though. I have an issue with that word. He's not going to be the one that holds you back from getting to the Super Bowl. That's not going to happen.
Right. Couldn't we argue that Baker Mayfield was the reason that we won a lot of our games last year? Like, he wasn't a reason that we lost.
How many times did we talk about that? At the beginning of the year, you know, they would win despite Baker, or like, you know, back in 2019.
Yeah.
We would talk about, oh, you know, they did this well, this well, this well. Baker was never really the best player on the field in 2019. Yep. That just didn't happen. But last year, there were games where he was very much the best player on the team. They won because of Baker Mayfield. And that's okay to say. There's nothing wrong with giving Baker kudos credit when he deserves it.
Yes.
Say he's a problem, Brie.
I'm not a big Jeff fan overall. So that was just, oh, there goes my light. Oh, fell over. I kicked it. I'm mad. I was mad about that. And I still am, clearly. Should we take one more? And then we'll
move on. Yeah, this is a good question.
Reddit rival. Oh my gosh. I saw this pop up. I was hoping that Ben put this up. Brittany from Adam, do you think Colin Sexton would be better off as a slot wide receiver?
Danny, when you hear this question, he'll like this. Do you think Colin Sexton would be better off as a slot wide receiver?
Better off? No, he would be a good wide. He'd be good though.
He'd be good.
I don't think
wide receiver.
You know why? Because
could Colin he be Sexton's a cornerback?
He's like 6'2".
Yeah.
Too big for a cornerback.
Okay.
No. He'd be great as a corner.
No, he's not fast enough.
He's super quick, though.
Yeah,
I feel like he would be like, I think he'd be a great corner. All about it.
That's actually, I like him better at corner than slot receiver. I don't know if he can tackle. But
he's really thinking about this.
Did he say, I don't think he can tackle?
No, I don't think he can tackle.
Colin would be a good football player.
Colin. I don't think he'd make the roster.
That's true. That is true. We have an abundance of riches, people.
That's true.
Did you not get the memo? Colin Sexton, you have no place on the Cleveland Browns. Get out of here.
Oh, okay. All right, let's move on. So thank you guys for all those questions. We'll have to do that. We'll have to do that again live. That was fun. Okay. moving on to Rival Reddit. New segment. We're going to make this a thing. So, guys, I don't know if you frequent the Reddit boards. I do. I casually scroll. I read them. I don't participate, but I think people are funny. So the last couple of days, obviously, there are reports coming out about training camps. You know, it's not obviously it's not just a Browns thing, right? But all of us who are Browns fans tend to pay attention to Browns. So it was yesterday when I was scrolling on Twitter, I saw a post specifically about Joe Burrow. And I'm sure that you guys all saw this as well. But in case you didn't, one of the Athletic reporters had been at practice and was talking about Joe Burrow struggling and the offense not clicking. So the leading line was that I saw, it's just not good right now. Throws that felt like layups last year are dropping harmlessly away from receivers or easily broken up by multiple defenders. So I saw this and, you know, I'm being respectful. I don't want bad karma out there for us, right, as Browns fans. We've been through this many of times. But I did send a note to our group chat and I just said, you hate to see it, right? Because it felt like Joe Burrow was crowned last year before even playing a full NFL season. And obviously his injury was horrific. You hate to see that as well. But he obviously did have a pretty bad injury that he's coming off of. And I don't think the Bengals necessarily set him up for success going into this season. So I was like, wonder how the Reddit board is feeling. So I started to go down the deep, dark path. And as you could expect, the comments from the fan base, the Bengals fan base, is that everyone is overreacting. It's just training camp, you guys. Relax. It's going to get better. They are in full-on defense mode of the offensive line, and that the offensive line will somehow miraculously get corrected before the season starts. And here's me, Browns fan, observing in this board. Yes, hello. In 2019, the Cleveland Browns did not feel confident in their offensive line. And I believe it was the end of training camp that they changed the offensive line composition altogether. So it took them the entire training camp. They still couldn't figure it out, changed it up at the last minute. And Baker Mayfield went on to get killed the entire 2019 season. Now, I know there are a lot of other really wrong things with 2019, but I'm just sitting here thinking, Bengals fans, you cannot be that naive to think that things are just going to magically get better when your quarterback almost got murdered last year.
No, especially not the offensive line. You know, that's something that they absolutely had to address this offseason.
Yeah.
Like, they fumbled so bad on that.
And yes.
A part of me... I'll say a big part of me does feel bad for Joe Burrow because he's in this situation. We saw right. The result of this situation and they did nothing really to improve that situation. So you got this kid going and he's a kid, like, you know, to me, he's just a kid. So you got this kid going out there after just suffering a terrible injury. He's going to be scared. Wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's going to struggle this year. He is, because not only is he still trying, because he only played in a few games last year, he's still going to be sort of trying to transform into the NFL level. But mm-hmm. on top of that, he's nervous about his leg, which, as he should be, doesn't want to go through that again. And he's afraid that he will, because the Bengals really didn't do anything to help. So I think it's going to be a rough year for the Bengals, honestly. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, and imagine going up against an offensive line like Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney twice a year. And then you have a really good Steelers defensive line. I mean, I know that they obviously had some changeover as well, but, you know, the AFC North is not an easy division to play in. No. So, yeah, I think Bengals fans, I know you shouldn't read too much about training camp, like, you know, we talked about that kicking off the show, but yeah, I would be concerned from an offensive line standpoint with a really young quarterback who is coming off of a really bad injury. You know, if he's not comfortable, it's not going to be good.
No, I think it's going to be a long year for Cincinnati. And I hate to, I want the whole AFC North to be competitive. I want every team to be worse than the Browns, of course,
right?
But I still want it to be competitive. You know, I want to see these good games. I think Cincinnati's going to struggle. And it's all because of the offensive line, and Joe Burrow's going to play scared, as he should. You know, if they beefed up their line and said, okay, dude, we got you. We got you the help that you needed. This is not going to happen again. Then he could go out there with confidence. So, yeah, okay, I could do this. But that's not what happened. And you feel bad for him.
Yes. Okay, so moving on. I'm going to save the best for last, but I'm going to move on to the Ravens. So, Baltimore. Obviously, Lamar tested positive again for COVID. So he has been out. It's been reported out that no one in the Ravens organization wants video being shared of Lamar, specifically passing. He hasn't been at practice either, so that's obviously not been hard to do. But the Reddit board, specifically in the Ravens world, this is interesting. I didn't know this. The governor of Maryland is urging Lamar to get vaccinated. So there is obviously, this is a heated discussion, clearly, because there's so many differences of opinions on vaccinations in general. However, from a fan perspective, this is kind of where the conversation has been centered around with Lamar. And I think even with just his history of having COVID, I did have to laugh because one of the fans, and you know, we think that we are obviously like, misery loves company, right? Like sometimes we are our own worst critics as Browns fans. You know, no one gives us a harder time than we do. But someone in the Ravens board commented, will Lamar Jackson have more positive COVID cases than AFC North or AFC championships? I thought that was so good.
You know, I defend Lamar. I do. But let me tell you, if COVID made me poop my pants on national television, that'd be it for me. Like, I'm going to get that shot. I don't ever want to be embarrassed like that again. Dude had to leave because he had poopy pants.
As someone who's living in a house right now where there is multiple pooping of the pants happening, and it's a baby, so like it's okay, but I feel you on that one. It's not fun to poop your pants. It doesn't matter what age you are.
That would be enough for me to do anything, really. If I could stop myself from pooping myself, like, I would take those measures. I promise. Especially for everyone to see. Like, everyone's on me that. So, Lamar, just get it, man.
So, yes, we will monitor what continues to happen over the next week or so. Moving on to Pittsburgh. So, Pittsburgh, wow. Whoa. Wow. Wow. It gives me great pleasure to talk about this. Okay. So, Pittsburgh. Couple of things here. They don't want anyone filming anything at their camp. Kind of seems very similar to the Ravens. Meanwhile, the Browns are like posting all of these gassed up videos of their camp. So it's just amazing. They also recently were ranked as having the worst off season this year, which Brittany, how would you feel if you were ranked as the worst off season behind the Texans?
I forgot about the Texans completely.
They were below the Texans. So feathers have been ruffled on the Steelers Reddit board.
How is anyone ranked below the Texans? Like, they couldn't have done anything worse than they did. Like, I'm floored right now. I mean, granted, the Steelers did nothing to improve themselves, but like, the Texans.
Yeah, I know.
A complete dumpster fire from top to bottom.
Oh, don't worry. The hits keep coming because then a PFF ranking came out and they have the 31st worst ranked offensive line. And they were mad. The fans were mad. They were like, of course the Browns are number one. And I'm like, oh my God, Steelers fans are jealous of us. Hold me back.
That comment, Ben is the problem. They didn't want him back. Absolutely. And they owe him not. Like, this is my problem with, like, you know, sports and loyalty and stuff. Like, sports is a business, so you have Big Ben just not play the guy. Like, he's old, he stinks, he's done, he's, you know, Kleenex body, let him go.
Yes
So he's gonna hold them down, he's gonna hold them back. The Steelers are not gonna be what the Steelers could be. because Big Ben can no longer throw the ball.
We saw
that. Remember last year when they started off like 11-0?
Oh, yeah. Frauds.
And I was like, this frauds. Cannot continue. It can't. Like, he doesn't have it in him. And then, like, just complete tank.
So they're playing in the Hall of Fame. They're in the Hall of Fame game tomorrow, right?
Yes.
So I caught from the Reddit board that the plan is that Ben Roethlisberger is going to play. I heard something like the first quarter, either like the first two quarters or something wild. And then Dwayne Haskins will play. And then Mason. I also have heard that Mason Rudolph looks horrendous, which are we surprised by that? Is anyone surprised by that? So, yeah, again, the Steelers dumpster fire. I mean, their fans are spiraling. And then to top it all off, maybe my favorite thing coming out of all of this. So it's like worst off season, almost the worst offensive line in the entire league. And then right underneath that, it was Juju Smith-Schuster is now sponsored by Trojan brand condoms. And it is a post of Juju's Facebook with an entire ad about leveling up his game with Trojan condoms.
Is this real?
This is 100% real. It is Juju Smith-Schuster's Facebook page with his check mark. Oh, where's my camera? Available exclusively at Walmart. I approach my custom suits like I approach everything, with high attention to detail. Every stitch, seam, and button has to line up perfectly. Finding the perfect fit doesn't stop with my suit game, because with Trojan Ultra Fit condoms, the only thing I won't catch is STIs. Like, was Trojan condoms like, yes, it makes perfect sense to partner with an NFL wide receiver because they catch things. So we're going to do a play on not catching things.
But like the detail to it too. He's like, I pay attention to everything that Taylor.
Yeah, and apparently if you buy them, you can enter to win a sweepstake. I don't know. Someone responded, Juju, you good? Check. Like, we went from TikTok dancing to this.
This is a lot. I'm speechless.
So I forgot to read something from the Bengals Reddit board, and I want to read it because it made me laugh, because I feel like this was a headspace that we were in a couple years ago. This was the comment about Joe Burrow's performance in the offense. So this came from a user, and it said, it's early and I'd rather be optimistic than depressed. And this will probably all turn around. Defense is always better right now, blah, blah, blah. But it winds up that we broke Joe. I don't know if I can watch football anymore. Not going to lie.
This is going to be a fun year.
It's going to be a fun year. You know, I enjoyed this last year, obviously, but you know, I would highly encourage you guys, we in Browns Twitter and Facebook and whatever, however you consume your content. I laugh today because I'm like, the Browns fans are writing sonnets and poetry and we are just flying high there. I mean, every day it's like a verse is written, like we're creating a new Bible, a Browns Bible. And all of the other rival fan bases are slowly unraveling. And here we are, just riding high on this team. And it's just, what a turn of events. What a turn of events.
We've all been waiting for this for so long. Here we are.
Sure have. Sure have. So Browns Reddit board, elite content right now. Everyone is happy. All the other boards, not so much. So we'll keep track of that. We'll keep you guys posted on what's going on there. Check it out yourselves. And before we wrap up the show, wanted to remind everyone that you guys can still get 20% off of all Browns merchandise at the Heavy Store using discount code TWBS. Stands for That's What B Said. You can find it right here on the Facebook page, or you can go to the Heavy Store. It's heavy-store.com. com. So check that out. We thank you guys all for tuning in again live with us. We hope to catch you guys over the next couple of weeks. If you want to still listen to us, we are downloadable. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, however you listen to your podcast platform. Be sure to download us, subscribe to us, leave us a little review. And as we mentioned last week, you guys will be seeing a lot more of us as the season picks up. So if you guys like this, please let us know. Send us some feedback right here on this heavy Facebook page. And hopefully that means you'll see more of us. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Thank you.